A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and the scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them, Jesus addressed the parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his fortune, his inheritance, on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough to eat? But here am I, dying of hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would one of your hired workers.'" So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." But his father ordered his servants, "Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fatted calf." He said to him, "My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord. This is one of the most popular gospel stories. Probably most of us could recite it more or less by heart, right? We like this one. But let's be honest. Most of us think the older brother was right. We kind of intuitively think, yeah, he was the faithful one. Then that useless younger brother, he deserved to be punished, or at least made to work like one of the hired hands. Yeah, that's the way we feel about it. But it's hard for us to get our mindset changed. No. That old word, remember, metanoia, no? Metta means beyond, and nous is mind, right? in Greek, metanoia. It's a change of a mindset. Right? It's hard for us to change our mindset of strict justice. Yeah, that younger son deserves to pay the price, something at least. It's hard for us to think in terms of God's way of justice. But St. Paul, in that second reading there, he's telling the Corinthians pretty much the same thing. Whoever is in Christ is a new creation. New things have come. Behold, this is from God who's reconciled us to himself through Christ. And he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Not counting their trespasses against them, but entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ. So it's not enough for us even to begrudgingly say, okay, God is generous and merciful. We have to also be those ambassadors of mercy. Because this whole parable here is there for us to imitate it. And Christ is talking on a couple of different levels here. In a certain way, this story encapsulates the whole history of Israel. If you remember, hundreds of years before, the northern kingdoms all broke away and went their own way. And the southern kingdoms, Judah, stayed faithful. That was the area around Jerusalem. And they stayed Jewish, and the others kind of broke away and started intermarrying with the pagan peoples and lost their Judaism. And they were rejected by the faithful Jews. And that drama was still playing out in Jesus' time. In the north, there was the Samaritans. But they were seen as the Jews, as kind of, they had intermarried and changed their beliefs and picked up pagan beliefs. And then the ones in Judah were faithful. But as the whole gospel plays out, we see that drama in every page of the gospel. They weren't really that faithful. They went through the motions. They thought they were superior, but they weren't really holy. They weren't really surrendered to God and his will. They rejected anybody else. And they had a very bad attitude toward the Gentiles, the pagans. No salvation for them. Because they had a very narrow view of God and his justice. And as Jesus tells the story, you can see that this younger son, reckless and selfish, he has a conversion, but it's not a perfect conversion. Right? He's rehearsing in his head his lines, what he's going to say to the Father. And he only starts with that because he's desperate. He's hit rock bottom. And he's saying that my Father's servants have more to eat than I do. And the Father sees him while he's a long way off, even spiritually, not perfectly sorry. How often we're in that situation, no? We know we've done wrong, we've broken God's commandments, but we can't quite let go. We feel some guilt, but it's not out of love for God. But at least that was enough to get him walking back. And he started that journey, and then he encounters the mercy of the Father. It's a whole new way of thinking that God can be so merciful. But it's good for us. Unfortunately, we mostly identify with that older son. He's chosen to act like a hired worker. He's chosen to be filled with resentments and comparisons. He's not open to living in this new way of being with the Father, where the Father says, you're with me always, and everything I have is yours. He just compares that he's worked harder, he's obeyed, And he thinks the younger brother should be punished. Remember that parable of the laborers, who some were hired in the morning and worked all day, and later, toward the end of the day, the farmer sent the others out, and then at the end of the day, he paid them all the same. And the ones who'd been out there all day said, we should get more. And the master said, well, wait a minute, you agreed to that wage, and if I'm generous with my money, what's that to you? We can build this resentment, and we can live in this world of comparison, rather than rejoice in the goodness and the mercy of the Father. Remember that parable of the two debtors? One had a huge debt he couldn't pay, so the master forgave him. And then he turns around and somebody owed him a little bit of money. Then he beats the guy up and has him thrown in jail until he pays the last penny. It's the way we are. When we receive that mercy from God, we've got to give it out as well. I think we all suffer from this, no? We can't quite accept that mercy of God because we know deep down it means we have to act mercifully too. We have to forgive too. Ambassadors of the mercy of God. And we're all a little like that older brother who built up resentments and entitlement all along rather than rejoicing that he was with the Father, that everything the Father had was his. And maybe we need to develop more gratitude in our spiritual life, to thank God daily for everything we have, all the blessings that he's poured out on us, and stop with this comparing that somebody else has more than I do. Somebody else has been treated better. Gratitude and joy that we've been redeemed, that we've been chosen, that we've been freed from slavery, that we live in the Father's house and will live forever in the kingdom. If we choose just to be a hired hand, then when the celebration goes on about a lost soul coming back, we can't hear the music. We can't enjoy the banquet. We just sit there and brood over why we didn't get more. We got to make a choice. Will we receive mercy and give mercy? Or will we spend our time just counting what we don't have? We have to choose mercy.